when you've got work.
Sure, you can go downtown, you can go uptown, you can go all around the town, and as you travel, you can find all kinds of commercial real estate out there, and that's what we're talking about here on Taking Stock on Bloomberg. I'm Dave Wilson, along with Pim Fox, and with us here in the studio, Michael Torres, the CEO of Avalante Capital Management, and Marissa Manley, the president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. Welcome, and thanks for joining us here. Michael Torres, first question to you. We've been through a year and a half of economic growth. By all accounts, more growth coming this year. How does that play out, or how might that play out in the commercial real estate market?
Well, we're starting to see activity. I mean, it's great to have our guest about talking about leasing, because we're certainly seeing that in the tenants. Partly, I think, is as rates have started to move, there's incentive for people to start making decisions now. You have the economic engine, rates are moving, people are starting to absorb space.
Marissa Manley, is this a question of people just kind of rearranging the deck chairs because there hasn't been huge job growth? We're talking about white-collar work, basically. If you're talking about commercial real estate, maybe we'll add in some retail there. But, you know, whenever we do a program on real estate, I get emails from all over the country, and people say, you know what, it's a mess out here. There is more space available than they think is ever going to be absorbed. We'll talk about construction. But in some of the data that you've been looking at, just take New York City.
Sure, Pam.
13%, right, is an important level, important number. Explain what that 13% means and why really 10% is where we normally would be.
Well, let's talk about, let's say 10% is really your critical number, because
what does that mean? 10% of what? Vacancy
rate? 10% vacancy
rate
is your equilibrium rate.
Okay.
And that's when landlords and tenants are roughly in balance. And if we look around the country right now, you'll see headlines about the vacancy rate coming down, but the vacancy rate on average nationwide is still in the high teens. So that says it's double the equilibrium rate. Now, if I look in New York, Pim, again, headlines. The vacancy rate is coming down. If you look at an average vacancy rate, we've got about 7.7%. Now, on a 540 million square foot market, Pim, that means you're going to have roughly 50, you're going to be able to fill up 15 Empire State Buildings. That's 270,000.
Let me just get my mind around that. 15 Empire State Buildings. That's what's out there waiting for somebody to just say, I want you.
I want you. And that doesn't take into account what we in the real estate world call gray space. So gray space, Pim, is that space that corporations have under lease, but they're not using it yet. They leased it in good times, and half of it is vacant, or 20% is vacant, because they've had attrition, or they've had, unfortunately, layoffs. Now, we talk about unemployment, and you're right to note that that's a key driver. The BLS right now is saying unemployment is about 9%, but Gallup, which polls more frequently, is saying about 10%, Pim. And very importantly, Gallup is saying that underemployment, which they like to talk about, which is people who may be employed, but they're part-time, and they want to be full-time, that is up to close to 20%, and it's had almost a 500 basis point jump in the last month. Jobs drive commercial real estate, Pim, and we do not yet see the data that indicates significant job growth.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation. Some sobering news there from Marissa Manley of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. Also, we've got a Michael Torres of Adelante Capital Management. More on the state of commercial real estate next. Yes, indeed. Tomorrow can pay the rent. What is going on with commercial rents? We've got two experts with us. We have Marissa Manley, Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation, and Michael Torres, Adelante Capital Management. Michael Torres, you know, in looking at the notes that we put together for Marissa coming in, I noted two words, caution and flexibility. Are those two words in the lexicon of people who own real estate now, or are they still a little too hopeful?
You could probably throw another word in there, which is survival.
Ooh, survival. I love it.
Let's be a little controversial. At the end of the day, I think there's a bifurcation in the market. As Melissa mentions, basically still a lot of vacant space. Remember, we haven't been building new space, and buildings do become obsolete. Locations are critical, but again, I think there's an obsolescence that we have to be thinking about before we start building new buildings. But we have to absorb, which I think she makes a very good point. And I think healthy well-financed buildings and owners today are probably the most competitive in the marketplace. And so that's where that survival comes to those that are over-leveraged, if you will, in the marketplace, and they can't attract tenants.
I suppose there's also a survival element when you think about the people using these office buildings. And Marissa Manley, story that came across on the Bloomberg Terminal today caught my eye. Citigroup telling about 650 call center employees in Albuquerque to work from home permanently. They're selling the office building. Among the clients that you're dealing with, are you finding them perhaps more reluctant to take on office space, more likely to have people working from home instead?
Sure, we are seeing that trend in a number of ways. In fact, we're working on a transaction right now in Pennsylvania that had been in the works for a number of months, and very, very close to the end of that transaction, the tenant pulled the deal. And not because they couldn't finance it, but because they thought there was a better return on their funds elsewhere. So their expansion is going to be in the southeastern U.S., and the expansion is really going to give a boost to their online operations as opposed to their brick-and-mortar operations. So I think, Dave, that's the very type of thing we're seeing, that tenants are very, very careful about the type of investment that they're making. I would characterize a lot of transactions we're seeing as that the tenant is quite cautious and leery of perhaps making a misstep, and landlords are quite patient. Uncharacteristically so. We've seen a number of transactions that we consider quite small and that building ownership might have considered inconsequential. But now they're staying with it, and they're doing that next lease draft. They're doing another round of, well, how is this really going to work when the tenant comes up with an 11th or 12th round of questions? So we are definitely seeing that type of a more deliberate dynamic in the marketplace.
Michael Torres, you know, I guess people could be forgiven for being confused about what's happening in the market, because we all know, for example, there is the Google deal, right? The Google deal in Manhattan, 111 8th Avenue. I think that was, what, a $1.8 billion deal. Thank you very much, Scott Schnipper, for this piece of information. So $1.8 billion, Google buys the building, and he writes that Nike, which is in the building, declined Google's buyout offer, and it was for 100,000 square feet, and the idea was that they were going to buy out Nike. They declined the offer, and they're going to stick around. So we use those, you know, people use that as an example, say, no, the market's really healthy. Look, they paid $1.8 billion for the building. Is that really indicative, or can we really point to the real estate market and say, look, those are the trophy deals. Those are the deals that grab the headlines. But on an everyday basis, it's tough out there.
Remember, in commercial real estate, we're housing the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Number one. Two, it's supply and demand. We've choked off new supply. As as mentioned, tenants are being more selective, so people aren't going to commit to new construction. And then really on the demand side, on the construction side, supply, we're not getting new. I think you're seeing observations that is bringing people back to the market. Okay, before it was just dead, and I think turning someone down is a sign that maybe there's some health. It brings more people to a marketplace, which I think is encouraging. You know, I was in Hong Kong actually in December, and I talked to a counsel of a Chinese company that was very interested in the Google deal. They too, a tech firm, wanted to come to Manhattan and buy an office building because Google did it.
Did you make a deal with them?
No, unfortunately.
You didn't have any space. You got to hook up with Marissa here.
Maybe they wanted the asset, not the space.
They just want the asset.
Exactly.
Marissa, what do you think? Maybe you got something for them?
Well, I think Michael's right when he says there's a bifurcation in the market. We're certainly not seeing that across the board. And I think that's also indicative of the kind of froth we've seen. And good luck for this Chinese entity if it comes into the Manhattan market. Let's make sure it's being priced correctly, because one thing we're seeing, Pim, is CMBS delinquency rates.
Commercial mortgage-backed securities, yeah.
Correct. So that delinquency rate now is as high as it's been while this is being tracked. It continues to trend upward.
All right. We're gonna continue the conversation more with Marissa Manley, more with Michael Torres, more on commercial real estate next.
So we return to our discussion of commercial real estate here on Taking Stock. I'm Dave Wilson, along with Pim Fox. With us, we have Michael Torridge from Adelante Capital Management and Marissa Manley from Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. Michael Torridge, we had the CEO of KB Home, Jeff Metzger, in here earlier this week. And among other things, he talked about how locations close to job centers and coastal regions showing signs of growth, that's where the company's concentrating. If you look at the commercial real estate market, can you sort of draw the same conclusion, make the same argument, or is it somewhat different?
No, I think that's what real estate's all about, is about where jobs are. I mean, partly you have to house populations. Populations obviously, have vitality because of economic activity. I mean, in San Francisco, what we're seeing today, when you look south of Market with all the tech and social networking, it's booming, yet in the financial core, it's still soft. So I completely agree with that.
Marissa Manley, come in on the topic of healthcare, because it seems as though there is one area that no matter what happens in the world, we all need more healthcare. We've got new healthcare legislation, and it seems as though if you're going to be betting on real estate, find something that is related to healthcare. That looks pretty savvy.
Well, Kim, you know, healthcare has been adding 22,000 jobs a month on average for the last period of time, while other sectors have been losing. So that is a very good observation, and we are certainly seeing that in the commercial real estate market. We are seeing that certainly in terms of a demand for space that was traditionally office space or non-medical being converted to medical space. We are seeing that our healthcare clients, in several instances, have strong growth trajectories. And to the extent that real estate is a critical part of their business platform because they're in a clinical part of the healthcare world, there is a strong demand there, Pam. And I think what that's going to require from traditional real estate owners is a greater appreciation of the infrastructure needs and the clinical needs of these very, very different space users.
So contractors take note. Construction firms take note. You need maybe a specialized practice or a specialized division within your construction firm in order to take advantage of this trend.
Right, because these people are looking at joint commission standards and other regulatory authorities. They're looking at special types of HVAC. They're looking at special types of egress requirements. So you do have to be specialized. You have to know what their requirements are, and we can certainly anticipate increased demand in that area.
So, Marissa Manley, we've mentioned technology. We've mentioned healthcare. I mean, outside of those areas, are you seeing any real demand among your clients for commercial real estate at this point?
Well, Dave, no, I think that real estate, both on the asset side and the end user side, is very industry and situation specific. We have private equity firms that are growing, and we have private equity firms who say, gee, we don't know what's going on with our portfolio companies, so we're standing by. We see the same thing with our financial service clients. Some of them are very, very large. They're very healthy, but they're focused on cutting costs.
Didn't you just do this deal at 1540 Broadway? Tell us about that.
We
it was 1540 Broadway, 17,000 square feet.
At 1540 Broadway,
yeah.
That was a financial services entity, although a little bit outside the mainstream of financial services. And I think the story there, Pim, is that this was a very, very selective tenant that, in fact, took advantage of market conditions, because 1540 Broadway was a building that had been recapitalized. It had been purchased at the top of the market as part of the Equity Office Properties portfolio. And when that did not work out for the Macklo organization, and a CBRE investor came in with a very different capital structure, it began to be a much more attractive building to the market.
So, Michael Torres, put this all in context for us, because I know you focus on real estate investing, look at real estate investment trusts. How would you measure sort of the current environment for these REITs relative to what we've seen, let's say, the last couple of years?
Sure. I think that when you look at the property types that have short-term leases, whether it be lodging, multifamily, industrial, call that anywhere from a day to three years versus an office building, which may be 7, 10, you know, medical office, you need a long-term lease to amortize the cost of that big fit-out. So I think that we still have challenges on the assets that require lots of capital, long-term leases. Just think about it. Right now, we're getting ready for the burn-off of the dot-com leases 10 years ago. And so rents are still rolling down in some of those office buildings at the same time as they need CapEx. Interest rates are going up. So that's where I think, again, there's stress in parts of the marketplace.
Would you buy any commercial real estate right now, Michael?
I own about $2.5 billion on behalf of my clients, Pam.
Would you buy more
We absolutely would
currently
more,
looking
put more money to work. Again, I think one of the single most attractive parts of this marketplace today is no new construction. Okay, and buildings are continuing to become obsolete. Now, we don't want to be too exuberant about the economy, but we are going to fill these buildings up.
We just got to be a little bit patient, perhaps.
Right.
I like that. We're going to add that word to the lexicon.
Right.
Caution, flexibility, survival, and some patience. I want to thank you both very much. Always enlightening. Marissa Manley, commercial tenant, real estate representation, and Michael Torres, Adelante Capital Management. Appreciate your insights. Coming up.